Amen. Wow, what a great week we've had. It has been such a blessing. Like Scotty said, we're all kind of tired around here, a little groggy. So I'm going to give you a pass today. If you fall asleep on me, I may not call you out on to pray or anything. I may just let you snooze today. So, but I'm hoping the content of the message today is going to be enough to keep you awake and stirred. Stand with me as we look into Proverbs. We're continuing our study of Proverbs, a few chapters there. We're going to look at chapter number 7, and we're going to be in the first 5 verses of Proverbs chapter number 7. He says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live in my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Our fathers, we come into this part of the service as we look into your word and we draw from what we've already read, the challenge that lies before us, God, as we think about this strange woman, as we think about the things that entice us and try to draw us away from you, the importance of your word, God. We pray today that we would all get a hold of it and let it be a part of our lives. We pray that today your Holy Spirit would convict us and speak to us, God, in power, the words that we need to hear today. I ask your forgiveness of my sins. Cleanse me of anything, God, that would hinder me in serving you completely and totally today. I want you to preach. I don't want to say anything, God. I want you glorified. I want your word to go out. Then we're going to be blessed. And then we're going to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. So, God, have your way. Thank you for the salvation that's already happened thus far. And we're excited, God, looking forward to more salvations along the way. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we get to the point to where we say, you know, like Scotty said, man, over the last couple of months, we've had like 13 people get saved. And sometimes we can just sit and relish and glory in that if we're not careful and not worry about anybody else getting saved till next Bible school, beach trip. But we need to realize every day there are people dying lost without Jesus Christ. And I think the content of the message today is dealing with that very subject. It's talking to us about the seriousness and the importance of what we do for the kingdom of God. Do you realize your witness is important? Do you get it? Do you understand that it is important how you live your life, how you conduct yourself, the things that you do and the things that you say, the opportunities that God places before you, they're critical to other people's lives. Now, we got to understand that we don't save anybody, right? We don't. We can't save anybody. I'm so thankful it's not up to me to save anybody. I don't know if anybody be in heaven is up to me, because I can be a mess when it comes to that. But I need to understand that we are called and commissioned. We are set aside and commanded to let people know about Jesus Christ. How are they going to hear unless they have a preacher? How's the preacher going to go unless the preacher's sent? God calls him. It all works collectively. People hear about the gospel from somebody else. We don't just walk by. I know that Romans talks about the Godhead is seen through nature itself. And I get that. I understand that. But we're not going to just walk by and look at an apple tree and more than likely have a chance to get saved there. It's going to come through the preaching of the word, from the witnessing and the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we can't use that as an excuse. Well, God's going to find a way to convict those people I love that are lost. Well, he may. He's going to use somebody, though. He's going to use a collection of circumstances. Might be a song on the radio. Might be a letter in the mail. Might be, well, we don't send letters anymore, do we? Might be a text or a post. But God's going to use somebody to affect somebody else's life. So what I want to do today is get that into our heart to understand how important our relationship with Christ is, how important our witness is. And we have no excuse. It is critical that we live for Jesus Christ. These first five verses that I read kind of deal with, first off, the obligation that we have to God. We have an obligation to God. We also have an obligation to His Word. Notice it talked about the Word there. He said, "My son, keep my words." So the obligation is to the Word of God, and by keeping an obligation to the Word, we're keeping an obligation to God. I want to run down a few words in these first five verses that really spoke to me of how we are to be related to and obligated to the Word of God. He said to keep it. To keep means to guard and to hedge. It's not that you and I as Christians have to defend the Word of God. It stands for itself. I don't have to defend the Word of God, but I've got to guard it, protect it, and not let it be contaminated, the Word that I believe. Don't let the Word of God that you believe be watered down by modern man. Don't let it be tainted or to become something less than it actually is, but hold the Word of God. Keep the Word of God pure. The second words are lay up, means to hoard it. Are you a hoarder? Somebody you know is a hoarder? Everybody pointing around. We need to hoard the Word of God. It says we need to get all of it. We need to get all of it we can and keep it. Keep the Word. Get it in here. Hoard it. Gather it up. Fill your barns full of it. Fill every, what it's meaning is fill every aspect of your life with the Word of God. Lay it up. Next is to bind it. These are all contained in the first five verses. To bind it means to, and I love this, to be mentally knit. I don't know how to knit, but I kind of see what knitting looks like. And I know it's putting things together. It's knitting things together so they're bound together. And so it says to be mentally knit. So it's saying the Word of God needs to become part of my thought process. When you're going through life, do you think about the Word of God? When you go through decisions in life, are we more conscious and concerned about what somebody thinks about the decision I've got to make rather than what God has for me to do in that particular situation? We're going to get on the world in just a minute, but the world has a lot to say about our relationship to God. Next, he says to write it, which means to inscribe it. Inscribe it on our heart. Let it be written, literally tattooed to us. I've never got a tattoo. I'm scared to death of needles, so I'm never going to go that way. But I need to let this spiritually be inscribed upon my heart. That's how the Word of God needs to be. And to say it, it says to say the Word of God means to declare it and to boast the Word of God. Not only do we need to gather it in, soak it up, let it become part of our thought process, but we need to say it, speak it, declare it, and boast about the Word of God. And the last one in that collection is to call, which means to publish the Word of God. That's our obligation. That's our command. Why is it so important that we incorporate all these things in our relationship to the Word of God? Here's why. Because the world will tell you what it thinks you should do and how you should be. God knows how you should be. And therein is the conflict that we all struggle with. The world would give you ideas and concepts and thoughts about things that are ungodly, but if we're not in the Word, we're not going to know sometimes whether it's of God or not. We're going to be easy prey sometimes for society, and society's going to tell us everything that literally opposes God. If we're not careful, we're going to be sucked into that trap, and we're going to think that it's truth. I think it's interesting how Satan works. In that he will share just enough truth to entice us. Then he sucks us in with his lies and deceit. Isn't it scary how Satan works and how he manipulates and how he shares one thing? I mean, even when Eve and the serpent were speaking together, how he said, well, is that really what God said? Is that really what God meant? He wants to challenge the Word of God, and it's scary for us if we're not inscribing the Word of God into our hearts. We're setting ducks. It's going to be easy pickings and it's going to be easy prey. Get the Word of God inside your heart so that when these things arise, we'll know what we stand on. Don't be one of these people that somebody brings up a thought or a subject and say, what do you think about that? Well, I just believe what the Bible says. And then they say, well, what does the Bible say? I don't know. Let me go call my preacher real quick. We need to be able to stand on the Word of God. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to get it in us. I mean, man, we're at a point in the world today that we're kids in elementary school are being told, you need to decide for yourself what kind of gender you want to be. Are you kidding me? The Word of God tells us what we are. Male and female made He them. I'm not critical and being judgmental and condemning anyone that struggles with that issue. But the problem, the root of the problem is we are not teaching the Word of God the way we need to. You and I, listen, it's our obligation to get the Word of God in us so that we can be the witness we need to be. We don't need to hate people. I don't hate anybody. We need to love people, but we need to be ready to share the truth of God in these critical situations as our young people struggle with even identity. We need to be there to not say how we feel or what we think, but share, here's what God says, and here's how God made you, and here's what God has in store for you, and here's the blessings that God wants to pour out on you as you follow His leadership. Let's move on to verses 6 through 10. For at the window, and this message I've studied for today, it didn't come easy because this is very challenging to me because it brings much conviction into our witness and our testimony. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. We've looked at our obligation. Now we're looking at our responsibility. We're obligated to the Word of God and we're obligated to God. Now he's saying because of that obligation and as we get the Word in us, we have a responsibility now to tell people about Jesus Christ, to live before them in a godly manner. He said, I was sitting and looking out my window one day and I saw some youth down here. They weren't spiritually enlightened. And I watched them walk down in the evening hours to a place and to a house and to a street where I knew exactly what happened down there. I knew it was a place they didn't need to be and I knew it was going to cause nothing but trouble in their life. But I watched them walk down toward that street and go down to the house of a woman that was a harlot. I knew what the plan was. If we're not careful, we're going to read right through that scripture to do nothing more than to deal with the strange woman. But I was shocked as I stood and looked at that passage and I said, oh my goodness, I'm the man looking through the window. I'm watching people. I'm watching young people make foolish decisions. I'm watching older people make foolish decisions. I'm making foolish decisions in life. Oh, we need witnesses today. We need people to stand up and to be counted as children of God. Again, we've got to be careful how we address situations in life. We've got to be cautious. Oh my goodness, if we get up and read a certain passage of Scripture, we're labeled as a hater. I know I'm probably labeled as a hater for what I've already said this morning. But listen, it is not my intent. I hate no one. I want all of us to come unto righteousness. You know, somebody that's involved in a deep sinful style of life will say, well, what about your sins? What about your sins? I have them too. I got plenty of them. But I know minor sins. The world's confused. The world needs to see righteousness and righteous living and blessings that follow righteous living. They need to see the benefit. They need to see what can be gained by a right relationship with Christ. They need us. The lost world needs us. So it's our responsibility as we stand and look through the window to not just look through the window, but get out of the house and go down and say, son, stop a minute. Can I talk to you before you go down that road and down to that house? Can I let you know where you're going and what's going to happen because of that? God gives us opportunities to do that. And we must and need to take advantage of those. Why is it important for us to take advantage of those opportunities? Why should we not just stand at the window and look out and just say, boy, that guy's messing up. How much have we helped? Zero we've helped. It's our responsibility to be a witness. So why is it important? Because of this, the next few verses, beginning in verse 11. It shares with us the intent of the strange woman, which we've already identified the last few weeks. A strange woman is anything that causes a disruption in our relationship to Christ. It says this, she is loud. Sin is loud, right? Satan is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Nor is now is she without. So Satan is not sitting in a house waiting for us to pass by the door and knock and go in. He is out and he's looking and he's hunting and he's searching for anybody that will listen to what he has to say. So she is without now in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. Listen, society is everywhere telling us, nibbling at our ears, whispering those pleasant things to the ear, lifting us up. So she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. And I thought, what is so interesting about the peace offering? As we look at this passage of Scripture, it's talking about this enticing woman, this strange woman. So we can label the strange woman anything that would draw us away from Christ, okay? So I'm thinking, what does the peace offering have to do with? What's the significance there? When you go back in Leviticus and you read about the peace offering, here's what comes up. The peace offering that was made and offered that day must be eaten the same day. Then it hit me. Have you ever gone through the shopping line when you go through to pay for your stuff? And when you go in there, some of y'all are great. You got a list. When you go shopping, you got a list. Maybe you got it on your phone or whatever, and you go in there, or you just want them to grab everything. But if you've got a list, you go in there, and as you're making your way up to the register, what is on both sides of you as you check out? Everything chocolate that the store has is there. What do we call that when we're walking up to the register and we're about to pay and we see all these goodies? It's called impulse buying. It's because we didn't expect it, we weren't looking for it, but it's there and we're going, I think that's why she talked about the peace offering, because there was no time to wait and weigh out a decision on whether you want to be a part of what she's doing or not. It's like must be an impulse. So she kissed him, she enticed him and said, come on, let's go right now. I need you to go right now. So it gives you not much time to think and consider what you should do. We're led by impulse. How many times have we committed sin that if we always regret it, but when we go back and we think about it, we say, oh my goodness, if I had 30 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour and a half, I just don't believe. I think I would have been able to not fall for that temptation that came. But you see, Satan is subtle. Society is subtle. The world is subtle. And it will entice us, and it will put a quick time limit to get us to jump in and to commit to something before we've ever had time to ponder it. There again, if we don't have the Word of God within us, we're going to be easy prey for these quick impulses to give in to sin. Why is it important to have the Word of God? Why are we obligated to the Word of God? Why do we have responsibility? Because temptation is real and it is strong and it is difficult for us. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, willpower is not going to get us there, right? Next few, we're going to look all the way down to verse 22 now. We're skipping some. There's a lot of passages in Proverbs 7. But down in verse 22 and 23, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. The power that sin has in our life. Willpower is not enough to get you out of a sin that is your besetting sin. I talk to people all the time that struggle with various kinds of addictions. You cannot break yourself free from an addiction. It is not possible. Let me say that again. Do you get that? Do we get it? You cannot break yourself free from an addiction, of any kind of addiction. You cannot. You do not have the power. I do not have the power to break myself free from any addiction that I have. We have what we call willpower. Some people's willpower might be a little bit stronger than others, you know. Somebody comes up to you and challenges you with something, the challenge in itself may give you the willpower to see something through. But we know scripturally that if there's a strong man in the house, and it's Satan that's controlling the house, that if he were to be kicked out for a little while, that if he's not replaced with a stronger man like the Holy Spirit of God, then he's just going to come back and he's going to bring more with him. We are not able to stand against Satan. We are not equipped with the willpower to battle the things in our life that affect us. People are addicted to alcohol. People are addicted to drugs. People are addicted to pornography. There's so many addictions in the world today. We do not have the power to break free from those. Only Jesus Christ is the power to break the bonds that hold us. Sin is powerful. Temptation is powerful, and we can't get free from those things. So we'll go all the way back to the beginning. We understand again why it's important for us to bind the Word of God to us. Because listen, you may be one of those that may feel like you're exempt from certain isms. You're exempt from certain things that are addicting. I'm not living the life that person's living, or I don't have the addictions that person has. But listen, we all have our struggles. We all have our besetting sins. We all have those things that pull at us, whether people know about it or not, that one thing that drags us in, and we are not able to overcome that or battle that without God. That's why it's important for us to stay plugged in and inscribe that Word of God in our hearts. And so here's the thing. When we give in to sin, you know what happens to us? We become a slave to it. I know we've talked about this before, but it's worth reminding. If I never drank the first cup of coffee, I'm never going to become addicted to coffee, you know. If I never ate the first chocolate bar, if we never drink the first beer, then the chances are you're never going to become addicted to alcohol if you never drink alcohol. Does that make sense? But once we do, we are susceptible to becoming addicted to whatever it is that we may allow ourselves to experience with our eyes, with our taste, our hearing, our smell, whatever it is, with our touch. Those things, with our mind, the thoughts that come in, we become a slave to those things. There's no way we can break that bond. but only through Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the very last few verses of Proverbs 7, beginning in verse number 24. Hearken unto me now. That's what he's saying. After all that we've talked about, he's saying, hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. This shows us how critical our decision is that we make today. God is speaking to our hearts. And he's saying, choose now. Don't put off something later when you need to make that decision today. Let today be the day of salvation. Let today be the moment that we say, I'm going to give everything up to you, God. I surrender to you. I want to live for you. God wants no Christian to just be saved and just float around until everything winds down and they enter into heaven. There's an obligation to the Word of God, an obligation to God Himself, and there is a responsibility, an expectation, and a command to us from God to live and to share the Word of God with all those around us. Man, I got convicted. I don't know that I'm living that way. I don't know that I've really sold out that way to where I'm actually living my life to be a witness for others. I know that I want to be, but many times I'm not. But I'm telling you something, as we get closer to the end of this world, whenever that's going to be, we're going to have our last opportunity to share Christ with someone. We're going to have our last chance to share Jesus. And we're going to stand before him and give an account. And here's the question before we begin the invitation. When you see Jesus, when you see Jesus for the very first time, you see him, is he going to be able to look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. What's the response that we're going to get from Jesus when we see him? Stand with me as we begin our invitation. Our fathers, we come to you today, and these challenging words that hit us right between the eyes this morning. I feel like, Lord, just seeing the salvations that have happened through the last few weeks, it's been a reminder to me, God, of the importance of witnessing, the importance of taking advantage of every opportunity that we have to let people see and hear Jesus from us. There are people in our midst this morning, God, that I'm sure are perhaps not saved. I pray that the message as it's gone out has been a conviction to those people. Let your will become my will, God, and let me surrender to you whatever you want me to do. Forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings and my failures, God, and help us today to surrender completely to you in everything. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.